up, y'all, and welcome back to Found Bites, a game review series. My name is Brian, and I'll be your host. If you don't know about us, we're all about testing out and finding small, high-quality video games. This is a podcast that aims to respect your time and money as a gamer and a consumer by sifting through storefronts and sales to find those gems that may be worth your precious resources. If you're interested in reaching out or helping out, check out the links in the description of each episode to access our email, Twitter, website, and YouTube channel. But enough about the show, let's get into our next game. Cocoon is the game for this week's episode. Cocoon is a third-person isometric puzzle adventure game. And some comparisons with games that we talked about before, it is very similar to Chance of Sennar, Jotun, as well as games like Journey and even Pikmin from Nintendo. The game was originally released in September of 2023 on PC, Switch, PS4 and 5, Xbox One, Series X and S. The game was developed by Geometric Interactive, which is a small team from Denmark, and they've done games like Thoth and 140. I have not played these or even heard of them. However, this team was started by a group of former Play Dead employees, which is a developer that has made games like Inside and Limbo. So if you've seen those and the style of storytelling that's going on in those games, you can definitely get a sense of what may be, at least generally, going on with this game. The game was published by Annapurna Interactive, and they are a big third-party publisher, and I believe we've talked about them before because they publish games that we've talked about on the podcast. It does have a physical release in September of 2024 coming up. I Am 8-Bit is releasing a PS5 and a Switch SKU, and pre-orders are live right now as of publishing this, and I believe they'll be shipped out in September of 2024, so in a couple of months from the publishing of this. And there are two versions going out. The standard box version is going out through I Am 8-Bit, but is actually going to be available on Amazon and Best Buy and Target, so you can actually pre-order the standard edition there. And then the collector's edition, which is an I Am 8-Bit exclusive, it's only going to be sold on their site, and that is an edition that includes a poster, some art cards, and actually like a crystal orb on a stand, which seems pretty cool. I Am 8-Bit is also going to do a vinyl OST release, and that is available as well for pre-order right now and will be dropping or shipping presumably in September of 2024. The game released with an MSRP of $24.99. Those physical versions, the standard box set that's going to be available on Amazon, Best Buy, Target, that is going for $30. And the collector's 8-bit exclusive edition, that is available for pre-order for $75. And the vinyl is going for $32. Runtime of the game should take you somewhere between 4 and 6 hours, maybe 4 if you're just running straight through, not worry about picking up all the collectibles, but if you do everything in the game, it should not take you more than 6 hours. And for our PlayStation listeners, this game does have a Platinum Trophy, and 21% of players are getting this. This is actually a fairly easy Platinum, still satisfying. Me, I've been playing it on PS5. I got it on sale for $14.99, and I got the Platinum Trophy in about 5 hours. It really didn't take me long, and the game is actually really helpful in trying to get any trophies that you may have missed. And in terms of recommendation, I vaguely heard about this on Twitter, I feel, from maybe some other indie studios kind of sharing things about this game. But really the big thing that stood out to me was that these were former employees of Play Dead, because I had played Inside, and I do own Limbo, but I don't think I played it. So those are all definitely things that were involved in me deciding to dive in. We'll be right back. All right, let's talk gameplay for Cocoon. So this is a top-down isometric camera type game, similar to like Transistor or Jotun that we've seen before. And on a very basic standpoint, it is going to be similar with just your basic character movement with those games. So let's get into some of the basics. So like I said, you're going to be moving around your character, and they can only move at one speed, surprisingly fast. And that is something that is very welcoming to any gamer. It's really not slugging around. You are moving. Your character moves pretty fast. Other than moving around, you're going to be interacting with things. And when you interact, you can pick things up. You could potentially use things. Sometimes you might have to hold the button to use certain things. It's almost like you're starting things up. And there's kind of a light accompaniment that'll go with that to know that you're holding it and actually progressing something. But really limited controls, very simple. You're really just either interacting with something or you're just moving around. But let's get into the pacing of this game, because that's really what is going to be the telltale for what's going on. This is seemingly open exploration that you're going through. However, it is fairly gated and linear. So what I mean by that is you're going to be in these like very mini sandboxes or feel like you can walk around a lot, but where you're going or where you can go is going to be pretty gated and linear, and it's really going to try to push you in a general direction. Very similar to games like Animal Well that we recently talked about, as well as games like Journey that have nothing. They give you nothing. There are no instructions, no words, no understanding that's overtly conveyed to you. It's just you kind of figuring it out as you go. Now, what is interesting compared to Animal Well that we talked about in our last episode, there is minimal backtracking in this game, even less so than Journey. I mean, there are collectibles in this game, but like I said, it's very gated and it's very linear, so you don't have to feel like this mental strain of like, did I miss some of this crazy stuff or am I going the right way? It should be fairly obvious that there's really one option to continue on, but there are collectibles and we'll talk about that in a minute. How you're getting through this game is by solving puzzles in order to keep going. And these can be all kinds of complexities. The game does a very good job of funneling these. It starts out very simple, and that's because you have a limited number of things, but eventually you'll start to gain different things, and that will make it more complex for how to keep going and how to move on. And as you're getting through this game, you are gaining an understanding of the functions of certain things or the ebb and flow. When you see something, you know how to use it now. And therefore, it's going to start to add more complexity as you get through the game and more dimensions. And that pun is intended. Like I said, there is some collection. There are vaguely hidden paths that are kind of obscured that are like these alternate routes that just have like a single trophy collectible at the end of them. It's not like you could go and diverge on a different path and actually end up going a different way. It's just like, oh, there's this thing right here. It's kind of just a one-way path and you come back and you go right on the main path. There are multiple worlds in this game. There are technically five, I guess, but four that you'll interact with. And these are things you're going to discover in sequence. It's not that you have access to all of them right away, and that's part of the pacing. It's slowly starting to give you a little more and a little more. You are going to be moving between these worlds. And this is similar to Chance of Sinnar, whether it's a linear progression or whether you're actually going to be able to quickly teleport, but you will be moving through these worlds. And so let's talk about how you're progressing. Each of these worlds is going to have a boss, and beating it will unlock some kind of new path or potentially a new world. And so, like I said, you're kind of getting these in sequence. You're not having them all at the same time. Within one of these worlds, you'll be moving yourself, like we said. You'll be moving objects, interacting with objects, solving puzzles, potentially getting a key and transporting it to the place where it needs to go in order to unlock certain things or unlock your way to the boss. And then, of course, you're going to be puzzling in order to progress within these worlds. And a lot of basic things, like there'll be elevators, there'll be moving platforms, there'll be ways to catapult yourself to get to another area. You'll be hitting switches, whether you need to physically stand there and hit it, or whether you need to leave something on it in order for it to stay switched. You'll be opening things like bridges and doors, and you'll be carrying these orbs around. And as you're lugging them around, you might put them down on certain things to open elevators or to open platforms or to move platforms. And you'll see a plethora of these sort of pods or these terminals in order to place the orbs on so that you don't have to carry them. Or maybe you need to put it here and then you can walk away. And so for a very basic understanding, if anyone's ever played Final Fantasy X, when you're in the Cloister of Trials and you get these different spheres, it's going to function similarly to that because they're going to serve a purpose. They can be put on certain things and any of them can interact with certain terminals, but sometimes only specific ones can do specific things at specific terminals. And a lot of these puzzles that you're going to be doing, they're going to be timing based. Like you might need to go click something and then run and interact with something in order to get to a door before it closes. It could be different turrets or objects that get used when there's something in them. It could be symbol sequence puzzles that you'll see from the environment that are really interesting and a nice kind of change of pace. But let's talk specifically about these orbs. This is where the game gets a bit wild. So there are probably like four different orbs that you'll find. And like I said, you're going to be carrying them along and you're going to need to carry them or lug them through these worlds and keep going. And it's almost like you need to bring them with you as you're progressing through this game. And like I said, you can place them at any port or terminal that you see, and you're going to see a lot of them if you just need to put it there while you interact with something else or pass through something else. You can only carry one at a time. They're fairly large, but you can direct swap. So if you have two of them and you're holding one and there's one in a terminal, it's not like you need to find another terminal or port in order to put one down so that you can free up and pick one up. You can actually go up to one that has one in it and swap it directly with the one in your hand. So that's actually a really nice alleviation of any kind of stress there. Each of these are going to have special properties, and it's kind of dictated by the color. So for example, some of them, when you're holding them, they're going to display kind of a circular force field. And anytime you get close to like a digital platform frame, it'll populate it with a bridge or a platform to walk on. So it's almost like you're making an invisible bridge appear when you're holding this. Other ones, you can convert like these clouds that are kind of like in a tall cubic shape. You can convert them into like a solid block, and it works as an elevator and it shoots you up. There's one that will allow you to shoot a beam when you're standing on a certain platform. So they all have kind of unique properties and they're going to be used for specific things. But all of them can be placed, like I said, to unlock a door or an elevator. And when you do that, it unlocks it permanently. So you might put one down, it'll unlock a certain thing, a door or whatever, and then you can pick it right back up and it'll keep that door open. And like I said, comparing to like Cloister of Trials in Final Fantasy X, any orb can kind of serve basic functions like that. And then so if these have specific properties, you're going to have some puzzles that are specific to individual orbs, as well as you're going to have areas that you can only walk through without an orb. Like I said, they are big and bulky, so you're going to have like these thin fitting walkthroughs that you can't carry an orb through. So that's going to dictate how you work around that or solve that puzzle, or what are you going to do with that orb while you're walking through there, and how can you get it back, things like that. And then there's sort of this meta puzzling aspect. So some of these ports or terminals that you're going to see where you can put the orb down, what's going to happen is you're going to put it down and then you're going to see this pool of liquid around that orb that is the same color of that orb. And what these terminals allow you to do are to go inside of these orbs. And so what I hope you're realizing is that these orbs that you're lugging around are the different worlds that you're going to jump between. And this you realize very soon, but it opens up such a wide variety of all kinds of craziness. Because, like I said, you can put an orb on a terminal and then go in that orb, but you can also be carrying another orb when you go into another orb. And so you can hold on to an orb, go into another world, and you can actually leave it in that other world and then come out. So there are all kinds of puzzles within puzzles that are now possible because of this simple idea. It almost gives the visual of like a Russian doll situation, especially when you're trying to traverse and you can only take one orb or something like that. You can actually put the other orb inside of that orb and so carry one while you're carrying the one that's also inside of it. So this really opens up to a lot of possibilities here. What's interesting is that these orbs are permanent and they always remain where you last left them. So it's not like you can lose the orb, because it is like these orbs are the central part of progressing through this game. And so what makes this game really interesting is that it has to incorporate almost like a responsibility in requiring these orbs for different puzzles so that you don't leave them behind. So at any point as you're progressing through this game, and again, you might start with one orb, but you're eventually going to have multiple orbs. In order to ensure that you keep these orbs to progress you through the game, they have to be required, or it has to be thought about that every one of these orbs gets accounted for. So this is where I am very impressed, especially with the complexity of the puzzles, managing all of these multiple objects and still keeping it linear. The game is gating you. It is making sure that you don't get lost and that you don't lose these orbs. So it has to mindfully require that you use them or know where they are at all times. So again, I'm very impressed with this micromanaging of all of these things and making it very intentional. Also, while you're in these different orbs or these worlds, there are different terminals that you come across that will immediately allow you to exit that orb and go back to the last orb you were in or the last world you were in. And what's interesting is within an orb or within a world, there are multiple of these terminals that kind of act as like updated checkpoints. So as you're progressing through the different world, you come across one of these portals and then you jump back out and then you jump back in and progress more. The next time you come across one of these portals, that is going to be the one that the next time you come out and go back in is going to be like the return location. And again, it's also kind of ushering you along in that linear kind of gating to make sure you are going to the next spot, as well as bringing along the orbs that you need. And so along with the pacing, what you're going to see is kind of a stop and go within some of these different worlds. You'll progress in one of them, and then you might come across a situation where you can't progress anymore. And then so you think, well, what do I do? Well, let me try one of the other orbs. And then so you're kind of swapping between these different orbs as you get access to different things or different orbs that have different special abilities. And now you're getting that aha moment like, oh, I have this shiny new ability or new tool. Where do I go? Well, again, the game is linear. So it's knowing that you're getting this new thing. And then so you check out the other orbs. Oh, do I have something like this in there? Oh, now I remember that's that part that I couldn't get past before. Well, now I have this new ability. And then in terms of advanced puzzling, I really don't want to give away too much, but there are different ways to interact with an orb, like when you're outside of it, that can have consequences within that orb. And that's going to bring in another layer, kind of breaking that fourth wall again and again in dimension, out of dimension, what could happen or what you could get to maybe happen in succession that can really raise the complexity of how to solve particular puzzles. And there are also boss fights, like I said, kind of like within each orb, there is a boss fight to progress to. And these are interesting because, again, it's not an action game. It is a puzzle game. And so it's kind of these real-time puzzles where you're moving your character around and you might have to interact with something that will shoot something at the boss, potentially. A lot of similarities with Zelda fights that you might see. Sometimes it might be a recent gimmick that you came across or a new ability or something that you might just have to move a little bit or touch something. I do really like the variation of these boss fights. They're all very different, and they provide kind of an equal fun and challenge. And finally, in terms of accessibility, what's really good about this game is there's really no permanent loss in this game. There are not missables. I know we talked about there being collectibles, and we talked about this kind of gating, this linear progression, but what's really good about this game is it has an autosave feature, and if you ever try to load the game, what it will do is it'll show you all of the autosaves, almost like all of the different files, and it does it by percentage of the game that you got through, so you can go back to any percentage of the game and just redo that. And if there happens to be a collectible there for my trophy hunters out there, this is how I actually was able to get all of the trophies and get the platinum trophy, because I think I missed maybe four or five of the collectibles. And all you have to do is go to like a trophy guide and look at the trophy you're missing, and then it'll tell you what percentage to reload, and you just go there and you reload it and you can easily get the collectible. So that is high accessibility. Love that. I know our trophy hunters will definitely love that. You can die sometimes, like you will die potentially in a boss battle if it hits you or grabs you or something like that, but you will just respawn outside of that boss battle, so no real harm done there. And the game gives you time to think for puzzles, and you're going to need it. Like I said, it is a puzzle game. It's not an action game, so it's not like you're put under stress and you need to figure it out because something's chasing you, there's really no reason for overthinking. Sometimes you may underthink certain things. Sometimes you may overthink. It really kind of flips the switch on logic puzzles. And, you know, I talked about dimensions and things like that. There are times where the puzzles get super meta, but you really just need to take a breath, take a beat, and just try things and kind of see what happens. And it might be your ticket to figuring it out. But overall, really nice balance between challenge and this linear gating. It really makes it so that you can't get locked up, I feel. And that's something that I think any gamer would really, really appreciate. Let's talk about the vibe of Cocoon. So let's start with the setting and sort of the concept here. So the name of the game is Cocoon, and you are some kind of moth or butterfly that's trying to do something. I don't know. Again, the game is not overt about communicating what you're supposed to do. But I think maybe you're trying to travel somewhere or escape. It's not clear. It's pretty vague. Again, no words, but I like sort of the ambiguous journey that you're on. And you're journeying through these worlds. Like I said, you've got these different orbs and they're different colors. And the colors do correspond to some kind of like environmental biome. Like the red one, when you go in, it's very dusty and desert-like. It's almost like steppes and canyons and things like that. The green one is kind of swampy and sort of has like this overcast. And some of the other ones might present in a more like technological fashion, maybe a little more modern. I'm not going to give away too much here, but there is some good variation with the worlds you're going through. And you're going in and out of these orbs. And let me tell you, it is mind-bending, especially the interactions you can have inside and outside the orb that can have an effect for trying to solve a puzzle. If anybody out there has ever watched Rick and Morty, there's one episode, it presents like this microverse. I believe Rick's spaceship has a battery that is actually a microverse, and they go inside and then they find that like the people in there created a microverse and they go inside that. And then so it's like going down the rabbit hole. Again, this idea of like Russian doll, it gets even more unbelievable. In my opinion, there are a couple times where I think my head almost exploded. Like I said, you're diving into orbs, but there are actually alternate ways to go into these different worlds, and you can have sort of some paradoxes, and it really made my head scratch a couple times. And then in terms of like the ending and the main villain, again, it's kind of open-ended. I don't know the interpretation, the specific meaning. I do have some vague ideas, but if you've ever played some of the Play Dead games like Limbo and Inside, I went through Inside pretty quickly, and by the end of it, I could maybe see some metaphors or some topics that were being touched on, but overall it was, you know, very open-ended, very ambiguous, similar to games like Journey as well. Visually, this game is very beautiful. It is truly well-crafted visually. There's this amazing color palette. It's super bright at times. Like I said, you've got the different biomes and the orbs that have specific colors. The 3D models are very smooth, and how they're rendered, it's just very crisp and very clear. The environments, a lot of simple shapes in some of the minor features that might have to do with puzzles, whether it's like curves or spheres or cubes out in the world. But again, the environments, depending on the different biome, some of them have a lot of ridges or like, you know, kind of mountains and different paths to go, overhangs, and that could potentially obscure a collectible that you're trying to find. And then in sort of the newer ones, and honestly in all of them, there's like a lot of scaffolding. So it's a lot of cross between like, you know, what time period is this? Because you've got sort of these older, dustier ruins almost. And then you've got these like platforms with technology kind of intertwined with them. Again, you have these orbs. And so these terminals that you'd need to find, put the orbs. So kind of a cross with like advanced technology. It almost brings to mind combine like the Metroid Prime series and like, you know, this ancient society that was actually very technological. Some of the cues visually are very helpful. Like I said, some of the interactions, you're going to be holding things, and in order to simulate that it's powering up or like, hey, you need to keep holding it, there's often like a light meter that will go up and up in various ways, whether around in a circle or up. And so that's a good indicator. Again, the orbs, like when you put them on the terminal to jump in them, the pool of liquid that's down is just so, there's something so mesmerizing about it. As well as if you have another orb inside of one, when you jump out of the bigger orb, it'll actually show that little ball, like, okay, you have the green one and the red one. So when you're carrying the red one around, you'll see like a dot that has the green one in there that's like, hey, reminding you the green one's in here. So that's really helpful. And in terms of audio, love the music in this game. Really great. And a lot of variation. Again, sometimes it's world specific, but it can jump between being ominous and somber or having a simple adventure or kind of like a get up and go. What's really interesting, it's very new age, technological, I feel, a lot of this music. It reminds me a lot of Headlander, kind of crossed with Rollerdrome a little bit, but then like kind of the meaningfulness of Journey or something like that, like the adventure. But again, that weird kind of new age tech. And if you're somebody that's interested in it, again, the vinyl soundtrack is available. And of course, there are some sound effects that are very satisfying as well. Like if you're powering up an interaction, not only does the light go up, but like you'll hear it a little bit, as well as if an orb is doing any of its abilities, like you can hear the different sounds. A lot of those little touches really make this like a complete package, and you definitely feel it, all those little things coming together. Okay, let's wrap up the conversation about Cocoon. So this is a great short experience, and I love these things. It's such a nice little palate cleanser, something in between a huge game. I mean, I'm playing Elden Ring right now with the DLC out, and just having this like as something on the side, like a little 4 or 5 hour experience that's really rewarding. I love the challenge of sort of the open-ended puzzle solving that you have to get through. But again, it's well balanced with this gated linearity. And I think that's where it contrasts Animal Well a little bit. So if you're somebody that got frustrated by Animal Well, or you were just wandering around aimlessly and not knowing what general direction to go, this is kind of the opposite in a lot of ways, where it's like, no, we have all of these puzzles, but we have a direct path that you're going on where there's really no other option. And so it's something that if you maybe want a little more of a guide as you're going through, or not to stress out about all the different opportunities or possibilities, I think this is going to be a game for you. Absolutely mind-bending concept in so many ways. And I think it's unbelievable, again, that you've got a small team doing this. They're kind of pushing the boundaries of this intuitive puzzle solving, I feel. And it's managing things at the same time intentionally. Like I said, you've got all of these orbs that you need to use and have with you as you progress through the game. And so they have to be very intentional about what you're allowed to bring, what the puzzle is requiring you, and not leaving any of them behind. And the game just manages that so well without you even really realizing it. In terms of value, I think $25 for MSRP is okay. I think it might be a little high. I got it at $15 on sale. I think that's a great price. If you see it on sale for $15, I think that's a no-brainer. You should jump on that. Again, a nice palate cleanser, great short and sweet experience, and again, easy but rewarding platinum. I think if you're a trophy hunter, this is right up your alley, and you'll have a nice, rewarding, kind of meaningful experience as you go through this, and often scratch your head a little bit. And so I highly recommend this game. All right, that's going to wrap it up for this episode. Stay tuned for our next episode to see what new game we found for you.